Hi everyone, and welcome to Take Ten Fatara number 471. I hope you all are well. Any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, please send to Rabbi Ismach at take10fortorah.org.
So we're now going to read the very well-known words at the end of Parashat Ki Tetze. Zachar es asher asa lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you by derech, betzeischem mimitzrayim. On the way, when you exited, when you left Egypt. Asher karucha baderech veyizanef b'chol klanach ha-shalim ha-charecha. How we happened upon you on the way and struck those who were hindmost, you were tired and faint, and they did not fear God. When you have the opportunity to rest from all the enemies you have around in the land that God will give you, you have to wipe out the remembrance of Amalek. And so we have this mitzvah to constantly remember this villain of Amalek. I want to try to understand what is the villainy of Amalek. We have the original story with Amalek as it's told, not in the portion that tells us to remember what happened, but in the actual, I guess you could say, live events that occurs in Parshas Beshalach. We read it a few weeks ago, Perek Yud Zayin. It talks about Vayavo Amalek, Vayilachim and Yisrael Berefidim. Amalek came and went to war with the Jews in Refidim. Moshe says to Yeshua, choose some people and let's go out to war with Amalek. I'm going to stand on the top of the mountain, and I'm going to be holding the staff of Hashem. They ask Yeshua, and Yeshua says, no problem. He goes, he puts together an army, as Moshe told him to do so. And they go up, and they get up on top of this mountain. Very interesting pasuk. Pasuk Yeralf says, Vayikasha, Yaram Moshe, Yadov, Gavar Yisrael. When Moshe would lift up his hands, the Jews would win. In the battle, Vakasha Yaniach, Yadov, Gavar Amalek. And as his hands would go down, so Amalek would reign. Amalek would win, be winning. And Moshe's hands were heavy, so they had a rock, and he sat down on the rock, and Aaron and Hur tamchu biyadav mizeachad mizeachad. He had the support on either side. V'yadav emunah. Great phrase. That his yadav, his hands, were emunah. They were steadfast, steady, emunah. Ad bo hashemesh, until the sun came. V'yachlosh Yeshua Amalek, and Yeshua weakened Amalek. V'yes amolafi charev. And so the psukim go on to say this very interesting statement about Amalek ki yad al kes ka, because Amalek's hand is on the throne of God from generation to generation. You know, this epic battle, which really occurs once in history, is considered to be something that occurs again and again. We know that there's reference in the story of Purim to Amalek Haman as being a villain coming from the nation of Amalek as well. And so I figured let's talk about this and let's try to figure out and understand what this is about. One of the things that I've mentioned in the past, I think Hanukkah time, was that there are two rabbinic holidays. And these two rabbinic holidays, in my opinion, are really coming to address the two major problems that the people, Jews, have living in Galut, living in exile. Problem number one is the question of assimilation. It's very difficult to be alone, not amongst your people, to be the minority, to have to practice differently than everybody else around us. But there's another problem, and that problem is the, you know, where's God problem. You know, we don't see God overtly, we don't see God in an obvious manner, and so where is God? And so we have difficulty sometimes connecting to that. So I argued Hanukkah time that the antidote to the first problem of assimilation is the story in the holiday of Hanukkah, because that was the battle against assimilation. And here I'd like to focus on Purim as being the response, the practice, the best practices, and how to respond to the other problem, and that's the problem of faith, the problem of faith in God. And of course it starts with this villain, with Amalek. Right? Remember for a moment that Amalek, of course, is this the first enemy that we have. Amalek is the one that comes after these successes over Egypt, after the miracles. Amalek is willing to make the statement that we're going to risk it. Right? We're perhaps not convinced that this involvement was divine. We're not convinced that you Jews are riding in some sort of destiny where you're headed towards something significant and important. We're going to poke holes into that whole story. We're going to poke holes into your chosenness. We're going to argue that, yeah, maybe God's not involved. Amalek, as we know, is a gematria of safek. It's the doubt. You know, it's the doubt. Maybe God's not involved. Clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu, his goal, when he goes up to that mountain and he puts his arms up, it's not like a talisman. It's something which is really, I think, very obvious. He's pointing up, right? He's just pointing straight up. And so when the Jews acknowledge that their victory comes from God, that God is involved in their destiny, their history, So then they are victorious against a scoundrel like Amalek, who seeks to argue that no, God is not involved when his hands go down. And people lose focus of that fact. At that point, they are they're going to lose the battle, because that's what Amalek seeks to argue. Now, this notion of Amalek is not something that goes away. Forgetting about Purim, we'll get back to that in a moment. You know, the Rambam indicates, and there are those who make an inference from the Rambam, that the Rambam means to tell us that all of the other nations are gone, but Amalek is still around. And what does that mean? That means that Amalek isn't just a nation, it's a theology, it's a type, it's a way of thinking about the world. And we're always, ki yod al keska, Amalek's hand is on God's throne, as if to push it away, or as if to hide it. And b'chol dar v'dar, in every generation, we fight that battle. It's essentially the battle between theism and deism. The argument that God is involved in the world versus the argument that God is uninvolved in the world. So enter Purim as this holiday, which I think is the antidote to Amalek. You know, we have a string of coincidences in the story. God, of course, as is well known, is not mentioned. We have Vashti, we have Esther, we have Mordechai, Ahasuerus, Haman. You could tell the story with a tremendous amount of drama. And of course, everything has to happen just so that it culminates into the conclusion that it has. And you look at the story and you're like, wow, what a fortuitous string of coincidences. And so I want to focus today, maybe we'll focus a little bit tomorrow on another element, or maybe not, but we'll see. But this idea of the Megillah as being without God, but somehow being this expression of finding God, is in an interesting Gemara, which we'll focus on more tomorrow. Why don't we say Hallel on Purim? So there are a few reasons that are given. One reason that's given is the reason we don't say Hallel on Purim is because the Hallel is actually said. It really is said. But how so? In a different form than we do it every other day. What form? So the Gemara says, Kriyasa Zuhalila, the reading of the Megillah is the Hallel. Now that's really interesting, because Hallel has all these grandiose phrases of prayer and praise, and the Megillah has none of that. It doesn't even have God's name. So one would argue that that's exactly the point. The point of the Megillah is to be able to read the story and to find God in the story. You know, we talk about Hallel, Hallel HaGadol, the great praise that we give for these overt times in our history that we believe God was involved. But what about the times where it's not so over? What about, you know, the Six-Day War? What about the situations that we go through and undergo every day where we feel like there's an assistance and something sort of bolstering us on the side? What about those moments? So it's our obligation to read those stories and find God in that story. And that is the exercise. That is really the exercise of reading the Megillah. That's the Hallel in reading the Megillah. The truth is, everybody has their phrase I just heard, Hallel story. You know, this story that they tell where they believe God was involved. God just sort of directed things in a certain way. And they have that gratitude for that, their Hallel story. Our lives are Hallel stories, and the Megillah teaches us that that's the model of how things work. The idea of God being hidden in Gullus comes from a pasuk in Vayelech, a pasuk we'll talk about a different time, but it refers to there that when we turn away from God, God turns away from us. Heaven forbid, but that's the situation of exile. And the phrase that the Torah there uses is, Anochi haster aster panai, I will hide. And the Gemara points out that the phrase Hastir Astir is very similar to the name Esther. That hiddenness where God is there, but behind the mask, where we have to actually search for him and find him, that's the result of exile. And the task that we have within exile is to try to figure out a way to peek behind that mask and to see where God, so to speak, leaves his fingerprints or his footprints, to identify God's involvement in history. And it's not always so easy. The Gemara as well points out that, you know, Haman min ha-Torah minayin, where does Haman come from? And it says, what do you mean, Haman? Haman's not in the Torah, Esther's not in the Torah, but these references are significant. Where is Haman found? In the first story of a person who doubts. Hamin ha-Eitz hazeh, we have the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, and they're asked, did you eat from that tree? Hamin ha-Eitz hazeh, the first time that Adam and Chava sort of are living a life that they feel that God's not watching, God's not involved, he's not observing what happens, and, you know, we could perhaps get away with it. That's the idea of the fight against Amalek. Amalek seeks to convince us that God has nothing to do with our lives, nothing to do with our history, nothing to do with our destiny. We attempt in every generation to fight that incorrect belief. Amalek is that villain, the villain of Purim, the villain of Zohar, and that battle is something we all have to remember. Purim Sameach.